This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Over the last 10 years, Central America has become a major transshipment corridor for cocaine smuggled out of Colombia to the United States. Some 80% of the illegal cargo is carried by speedy drug boats that race along the coastline heading north to Mexico. Nowhere is the influence of trafficking stronger than along the Caribbean coast of Nicaragua, the storied Mosquito Coast, where cocaine is transforming the social fabric of traditional culture. NPR's John Burnett has this final report in our series, The Cocaine Republics.
A rangy street musician named Melvin Anthony Nash plays a battered guitar on a sidewalk in Bluefields, Nicaragua. It's an original composition about the donation, the bundles of cocaine that wash up like driftwood on the beaches. A down-and-out panhandler, Melvin laments that he hasn't been so lucky.
I didn't get no donation that was come from the ocean. None from me.
Nicaragua's cocaine capital is Bluefields, the largest city on the Atlantic. It's a bayside settlement of broad, breeze-catching verandas, red tin roofs, ladies with parasols, superheated humidity, and the morning song of the fishmongers. Named for a 17th century Dutch pirate, Bluefield still emanates lassitude and lawlessness. Early the morning of May 4th, four policemen in Bluefields were found brutally murdered. Three had been stabbed, one had his throat slit and his genitals cut off and stuffed in his mouth. There have been no arrests so far in what's considered Nicaragua's most chilling drug crime in history.
Everybody thinks it's a warning from the mafia.
Deborah Grandison is a local lawyer and a human rights ombudsman.
The death of the four police, no one knew really what went on. The police don't give any information. And also that caused an ambient of insecurity because the people then were saying, well, what that happened to the police, what could happen to us?
Her accent reveals that Bluefields is more Caribbean in culture than Hispanic. The Atlantic coast is populated mainly by Mosquito Indians and Afro-Caribbeans descended from freed and escaped slaves. For the past two centuries, coastal residents depended on fishing for their livelihood, but that's changing. Nicaraguan Defense Minister Jose Guerra Pastora.
Nuestra costa atlántica, nuestra costa del Caribe, que es muy extensa.
Our Caribbean coast has all the characteristics for narco activity. Little presence of the state, extensive uninhabited zones, and very few authorities. Poverty mixed with narco activity makes for an explosive social cocktail, as well as a national security problem for Nicaragua.
Nicaragua's east coast happens to parallel one of the busiest drug smuggling routes in the hemisphere, and accidents happen. Drug runners pursued by the Nicaraguan Navy routinely dump their waterproofed loads overboard, or sometimes the drug boats themselves overturn in rough seas. The prevailing currents then carry the 25-kilo parcels of pure cocaine onto beaches up and down the coastline. The Mosquito village of Taspaupani is 2 hours by boat from Bluefields. The people live in houses on stilts, collect breadfruit, and hunt sea turtles, fish, and lobster. About 10 years ago, locals say, something strange and unfamiliar appeared.
The first time it washed up on the beach, no one knew what it was. Some people took a few kilos home, and they tried to see if it was baking soda, or flour, or whatever. Okay, they just reject it. They didn't know what it was.
Fluvia Garcia is the principal of the primary school in Taspaupani. She's a regal, formidable woman in a flowered dress. She sits under an almond tree behind her simple plank house. Looking past the swaying coconut palms to the beach, Garcia laments that cocaine has become part of her community's culture.
When it's the time for cocaine to be on the beach, men walk with flashlight on the beach, a whole lot of men. But now I see women, a whole lot of friends get together and children and let's go on the beach, yes. And they are not ashamed. They don't feel no way.
Today, this remote fishing village, without cars, telephones, electric lines, or indoor plumbing, has crack addicts. In the last 2 years, three boys have died, one hanged himself, and a crack addict set his house on fire, with his wife and five children barely escaping alive. Here on the coast, a rock of crack is cheaper than a beer and according to Garcia, more pleasurable.
Men say that it's sweeter than woman, and women claim that it's sweeter than man. I, as Fluvia, I see it as a curse. It's better if you never find it. Every family that find that ends up with a big problem and fighting and ends up hospital or jail or whatever.
In August, sailors had to shoot over the heads of town folk who grabbed 1,500 kilos of cocaine from a beached fast boat and refused to give it up. And earlier this month, a mob of 500 in Puerto Cabezas, far up the coast, threw stones at sailors when they tried to burn 1,000 kilos. People shouted, "Don't burn it! Let's sell it and repair the dock." This year, the Nicaraguan Navy expanded its presence along the Atlantic coast to 16 garrisons, including one in Taspaupani. Captain Manuel Mora, the Navy chief here on the Caribbean, fears that communities have begun to view the seaborne cocaine as a natural resource that belongs to them.
Eso se hace mucho más difícil cuando la comunidad te dice que eso es una bendición de Dios.
It makes it so much more difficult when the community tells you that this is God's blessing. There are communal authorities, church authorities, and councils of elders who make our job more complex. Imagine a religious leader who is receiving a quota of the cocaine money.
After the cocaine bundles wash onto shore, a Nicaraguan buyer, acting as an agent for the Colombians, travels to the village and buys them back for $3,000 to $3,500 per kilo. For the drug runners, it's a cost of doing business. For the people of the coast, it can be a life-changing windfall. Some call it catching the white lobster. And here in Taspaupani, cocaine earnings have created startling pockets of prosperity. The white sand beach is crowded with lobster boats, some with new motors, and residents are replacing traditional wood plank houses with larger cement block homes. Lobsterman Erlen Wagon brags about how wisely he's used his cocaine money, among other things, to build a new house.
I clothe my children, I take it, I buy food, I feed them, I school my children there. People that know me from Port Lagoon come and tell me, says, "We're glad and proud to see what you're doing with your money. Take your money and put it to use. Not like others, just take it and drink, use alcohol."
Wagon sits in front of his new entertainment center, powered by a new generator. The room is hung with no less than 15 bouquets of silk flowers. In Taspaupani, he passes for nouveau riche. Like other beneficiaries in town, Wagon considers the floating narcotic a divine gift.
As I told my children, I always get a blessing from God. Where I put my hand, there is a blessing from God.
The eastern edge of Nicaragua is officially an autonomous region, long ignored by the central government. In the absence of state support, communities are reportedly depending more and more on cocaine money. They're giving it to needy families and widows, paying for soccer teams, building schools, clinics, and churches, even augmenting teachers' salaries. In Taspaupani, the primary school needs a new roof. Though Fluvia Garcia disapproves, the school board decided last month the next person who finds cocaine, the board president will approach him and ask for a donation. John Burnett, NPR News.
When the people get together, everyone is happy for this plenty donation thing. Donation come for the whole population.
Some of the reporting on this series was facilitated by Gracias Vida Productions. Other reports in the series are at npr.org.
It will be a great success. Let us live in unity and we get more donation thing. Missing second island was the richest island.